Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee from Childress, Texas. We are glad you have joined us today.
Hi, everyone. Glad you're here.
It has been a couple of weeks since we have actually podcasted, and I totally am blaming that on you.
No, you did last week.
You're right. I did. I told a story.
You did last week without me.
Got on. We were with a grandbaby, and it just was one of those weeks. I had a workshop last week. We were in Columbia, Tennessee.
Yes. Columbia, Tennessee. Yes, I actually, while you were doing the episode last week, was sitting in a recliner snuggled up with a sleeping baby, and you just can't get much better than that.
Especially when it's your sleeping baby.
Yeah, so we just thought we'd let you handle it because she was likely to wake up anytime.
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple of things. Can I throw out a couple of announcements we have before we get started?
Yeah.
We are looking at, and this is still kind of pending, but we're looking at doing a signed book sale for Valentine's Day and a couple of minivans. I love my husband. I love my wife. You'll see more about that on our websites. If that's something you're interested in, be watching for that. We are enjoying doing our Wisdom for Your Marriage book together. We're in chapter 13.
That has been pretty great. I wondered how it would go since we actually wrote the study and wrote the book, you know, how much we would get out of it. But I mean, we're digging into God's word. So of course we're going to get something out of it. It's been great.
It has been good. We're going to be in Cleburne, Texas on March the 6th for a workshop. We're excited about that. We have a couple of cancellations and a reschedule. That's actually our next workshop. We don't have anything in February. We'll have two in April. It looks like we're going to go to Portland, Oregon.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, you Northwest people come. Portland, Oregon on about the 10th of April. And then we'll be back in Brentwood, Tennessee on the 23rd and 4th of April. And so we got good stuff. Pryor, Oklahoma is coming up in May. And so we've got some good workshops coming up and some things along those lines that we're excited about.
Looking forward to all that.
We are. Let's talk a little bit about our topic today, which is a little catchy. It's called Let's Get Naked.
But not that way.
Now, getting naked the other way is good too. But today we're talking about nakedness that doesn't have anything to do with clothes. We're talking about naked in your marriage and in your relationship with your spouse. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, that's just a foundation of trust, to be totally open with one another. And you can't have that trust if you're constantly, you know, hiding things.
That's true. This concept actually comes from the Bible, and we talk about this in our marriage workshop. This is a way that God designed marriage, is for us to be naked, physically, emotionally, mentally, just no secrets. Mm-hmm. And it comes from Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to tell the story real quick, and I'll let you read the text when we get there. But God has created Adam, and Adam is not able to find a helper, a helpmate, somebody to do life with. In fact, the Bible says he's naming animals, but he can't find a suitable helper among the animals. He's looking for a helper, a life partner among the animals, and there is none. And so he's naming, you know, you're a giraffe, and you're a hippopotamus, and you're a baboon, and you're maybe a brown cow. And it says that God, at that point, says God knocked Adam out, I'm paraphrasing here, put him into a deep sleep. Which not hard for most men to do, right? Deep sleep, amen?
Yeah, pretty easy for you.
There you go. And while he was asleep, God took a rib from Adam and made woman. And this is such a great story, such a great story. There's so many good, amazing marriage concepts in this. Eve belonged to God before she belonged to Adam. It actually says that God presented her to Adam as if first wedding ceremony, who gives this bride, and God, the Father, God, the Son, the Holy Spirit say, we do, you know? But God wakes Adam up. Adam sits up, I guess, and looks at what God has made, and he is so excited. I can just see his jaw open. She must have looked incredible. I mean, the last thing Adam saw was maybe an old brown cow, and Eve looks incredible. And the verse we want to focus on is actually verse 22 of Genesis chapter 2. And it says down here, oh, actually verse 20. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Looking in our Bible right now. There it is. God gave Adam, Eve and Adam together. Adam says, bone of bone, flesh of my flesh, she'll be called woman, for she is taken out of man. And a man's going to leave a father and mother and be united to his wife for this reason. And the very last verse, verse 25, the very last verse of chapter 2 says, you read it to us.
Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Now, they were naked. And when we talk about nakedness, yes, they didn't have any clothes on, but that word naked means more than just didn't have any clothes on. That actually means they were without covering. That there was nothing covered in their relationship. There was nothing hidden. There were no secrets. There was everything was out in the open.
They had nothing to hide.
They had absolutely nothing to hide. They were totally naked with one another, physically, emotionally, sexually, every area. There was nothing to hide. And that's how God designed marriage, that nothing to be hidden from one another, no secrets. Now, somebody always joking around goes, well, what about at Christmas time? All right, jokers, we understand, hide your spouse's Christmas present. Other than that, that's it, okay? But think about that for a second. Marriages today, fast forward to today, marriages today struggle when there are secrets, when there are hidden text messages, when there are secret porn addictions. And because of these, shame enters marriage. You remember Genesis 3 when sin entered into their life because Adam and Eve sinned, and it says they immediately covered themselves.
They were ashamed.
They were ashamed. Shame enters your marriage when you try to cover things up, and that's not how God designed marriage. And that is what we're looking at today, that when we allow Satan to enter in and deceive us, we lose the nakedness that we're supposed to have with one another. And so we're going to talk today about some areas of nakedness that we need to have, some areas of nakedness that people are struggling with today, and kind of go from that standpoint for a second. So tell us, kick us off, what's an area that couples are struggling with today?
Let's start with cell phones. Everybody today has a cell phone and carries it around on their hip pocket for the most part. So, phones are a necessity these days, or at least we feel like they are. They've made our lives both better and worse.
And we're not really here to debate whether or not cell phones are a good thing. They can be both good and bad.
Right.
We're here to debate that there should be no secrets on cell phones, that there should be, your cell phone should be uncovered with your spouse. And one of the things that you and I, one of our rules is, we have one another's passcode to say, as if to say, if you want to walk by and pick up my phone, you're welcome to do so. And that's a healthy, healthy thing. I have a friend that's a Judge Messer sees a lot of divorce cases. And one of the things that he says is, when I ask him what are some things that we need to talk about, he always tells me cell phones, talk cell phones. Somebody's texting someone they're not married to and hiding it. Someone is deleting text messages, something along those lines. But a spouse that locks their phone with a passcode so that their spouse can't see what they're doing is that's hiding, and that's secretive, and that's not being naked with one another.
That's right. And we've talked about how a lot of times that starts just with an innocent little friendship. But you got to be cautious about those friendships of the opposite sex, because they lead to this. I mean, you start texting innocently, and then before you know it, you're texting constantly, and then you're hiding it. So, yeah.
You know, sometimes we've met lots of people in the marriage world that have struggled with this. Sometimes we get messages from a spouse saying my husband or my wife has locked me out of their phone, and they go, is that a bad thing? And we always say that's a red flag.
Red flags.
Something's not right. They're obviously hiding something. And had a person tell me one time, said, no, not my spouse. They would never do that. And I said, yeah. I said, I don't want to. I said, you may be the one first one, but to this point, I'm batting 1,000, and they're doing something they shouldn't do. And it took them about 2 days to find that they were texting someone at work that they didn't want them to see and know about, and having a connection with someone other than their spouse. And that was just not healthy. That was not a healthy thing to do. But I think there's some accountability in us knowing one another's passcodes.
You can pick up my phone at any moment, and I have nothing to hide from you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how marriage should be.
That's exactly right. That's nakedness, being naked in marriage.
The only thing I might not want you to see is that new pair of shoes that I bought that I really didn't need. But I'm never going to hide that from you.
There you go. So. But there again, perfect example. You don't even hide things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
This may sound a little preachy, but we're going to throw this out there. But we believe it to be true. You may think that cheating on your spouse is flirting and touching and having sex with someone that's not your spouse, but we want to tell you that we believe if you are locking your cell phone so your spouse can't see what you're doing, and you're deleting text messages so your spouse can't see who you're texting, and you're texting someone other than your spouse, and you have connected with someone emotionally, you're not headed toward cheating, you're already there. You are already there.
Yeah. Emotional affairs are real, and they are cheating.
That's exactly right. We do text people of the opposite sex. So kind of what are some of the rules on when I have to text somebody, two or three things that maybe we do that we try really hard to keep those rules out and open on us?
Yeah. I mean, well, one thing that you do is you always talk text. So I know exactly pretty much every text you're ever sending.
I'm old, people. I'm old. I like to talk text.
But yeah, I mean, of course, we're going to have to send texts every once in a while to somebody of the opposite sex about information. You know, there's a 6 o'clock meeting tomorrow night or something like that.
And that's okay. We have to in life text people of the opposite sex.
Right.
But that crosses the line when I text someone of the opposite sex and two things happen. Number one, my job to text somebody of the opposite sex is not to text and go, hey, let's have a long conversation. How was your day? How are things in your marriage? What's going on in your world? How are you feeling? But those are questions that person's spouse is supposed to ask them, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is to pass along information. And then the second thing that's an issue there is if I try to hide that from you, that I'm visiting with somebody out there and I don't want you to know that I'm talking to them. But that's, yeah, just keep what text you have we're passing along information. Sometimes I do, though, we do include one another in the group text.
Yeah.
Well, checking on somebody or something like that.
Whether it's personal or not. But if it's a little more personal in nature where they've, you know, asked for some advice or something about their marriage, then a lot of times we do it as a group.
Sure. Like it or not, here you go. You're going to be included in this group message.
Mm-hmm. So. I put my wife in this group. So
that's exactly right. And so those are all very healthy things to do. There's nothing at all wrong with that. So it is okay to do that. We're not telling you to cut off every person of the opposite sex and delete their number from your cell phone. Of course, that's ridiculous. We are telling you to be very cautious about the texting that takes place, the things that you're browsing. Another thing that we do, actually, I don't think you'd know. Do you know how to delete your browser history on anything on your phone?
I could probably figure it out if you tried hard enough.
You've never done that, have you?
Not on my
phone. I actually don't know that I have either. Mm-hmm. But we kind of have always had a rule in our family with our kids and with ourselves that we don't delete browser history, meaning if you want to look and see what I've done, it's on there, or what I've been looking for, it's on there. And that's just good, healthy stuff.
Yeah.
It's really nice. I honestly feel that it's very nice to know that you can pick my phone up and I don't have to sweat over what she's going to see or what she's going to find or what she's going to look at that I may have looked at that I don't want her to see. And so there's some accountability in that. That is a very, very healthy thing. Now, we talk a little bit about about this and hiding things from your spouse. We want to be faithful to our spouse in every way. And cheating on your marriage can be done in lots of different ways, not just physical. That's the thing that always stands out. Well, did you touch that person? Was there physical cheating? What are some other ways of being unfaithful to your spouse?
Emotional cheating. That's just exactly what we've been talking about, that if you've made an unhealthy friendship with someone of the opposite sex, you've become attached to that person in a way that you should only be attached with to your spouse. If you find yourself constantly wanting to text or talk or spend time with that person, maybe you hide that relationship and the details of it from your spouse because deep down you really know it's wrong and you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
Emotional affairs are just as dangerous and just as wrong as physical ones.
And you're saying things like, well, they're just my friend. Or sometimes sometimes if you're giving counsel to someone of the opposite sex about their marriage, you're headed toward danger. I mean, that is one of the biggest red flags out there in the world of people going, how do affairs start? When you talk to someone of the opposite sex about your marriage problems or vice versa, a friend, if I can put it that way, not a counselor, not a minister, a friend of the opposite sex. But your spouse, we actually put it on Instagram this morning, in marriage, no other person should have the same connection to you as your spouse. And you don't even want that to be close. And so a coworker, a buddy, a parent, none of those things, guard that. Another affair that we think can take place is mental affairs, meaning that takes place in pornography, or I guess you could look at somebody of the opposite sex and think some things that would not be healthy. Jesus actually stated that in the Sermon on the Mount, said, you know, if you look at someone in lust, meaning if you desire them sexually, even though you're not married to them, I've heard people say years ago things like, well, I'm on a diet, but I can still look at the menu, you know, some stupid kind of quote like that. If you're looking in a pleasurable way, then that's unhealthy. That's not a good thing to do, whether it's looking at a person of pornography or some pictures on Instagram or Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to consider how it will make your partner feel.
Yes.
If they knew, you know, that you were doing that, you know, they might not feel like they measured up. They would feel hurt, deceived, you know, lied to, inadequate, just... lots of feelings that brings up.
So as we talk about nakedness, let's also talk not just cell phones, let's talk friendships of the opposite sex. That is a hot, hot topic these days. We have some couples that go, that is ridiculous. You've got to have friends of the opposite sex. We have some couples that go, we have extinguished all friendships of the opposite sex. And I'd kind of like to think there's a little bit of a happy medium in there, in a sense of, it depends on what you consider friendships. We consider one another our best friend. And we kind of have the rule that if we're ever uncomfortable with a friendship, whether it's same sex or opposite sex, that one of us have, we tell each other that and you know, say, hey, you're getting too close, or I feel it's a little uncomfortable with the friendship you've built with this guy that you're working with, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We've always said that we would do that if we ever felt uncomfortable with it. But,
well, and a lot of times it's friendships that they had before marriage, you know, that they spent time with that person and communicated with that person and, you know, even went out with that person. And then after marriage, they feel like it should continue because, hey, we're just friends. And the spouse is like, whoa, you know, this is not good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In a healthy marriage, if your spouse is uncomfortable with a friendship that you have with someone of the opposite sex, you need to listen to them. A healthy person in marriage, a mature person will cut off any person that threatens their marriage or the relationship with their spouse. That's just good common sense. That relationship would end if it has to, because nobody goes looking for an affair with someone of the opposite sex. It just happens over time. Things like, hey, we're just friends. Or some people in their marriage honestly think, and I think I understand where they're coming from. There are people who honestly think, I would never do that. But we actually think that's a little dangerous to say that.
Yeah, there's some early warning signs that you might be headed for an affair. having that attitude you just said, that it'll never happen to us. You can't ever let your guard down, because it can happen to anyone. I mean, we have seen it happen to some strong, stable marriages.
That we thought would never happen to.
I mean, Satan is out there, and he is looking. I think even, you know, marriages like that, he would love the most to destroy.
Yeah. So he can take down a big marriage. He can cause a lot of problems. I said it earlier, but if you're confiding in someone of the opposite sex about your marriage problems, you're headed toward trouble. You confide with not a friend of the opposite sex. You confide with a minister or a counselor or someone like that. That's what you need to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Another warning sign is that you neglect your marriage and you no longer try to meet your spouse's needs. You just kind of push it to the back burner.
Yeah, and these are warning signs that, hey, we may not be losing our nakedness in our marriage. When you're not doing regular checkups, how are we doing? Those are always healthy. We're doing that all month this month with our study of our wisdom book, and we're checking in on each other and asking questions, and that's very, very, very helpful. Yeah.
Today we had regular checkups. There was a whole list of 8 things, you know, things you can model for your kids and your marriage, and it specifically asked, you know, how are you doing on each one of those things?
Yeah, so it makes you think.
It's really good.
It does.
Another one is that you're not being proactive in the growth of your marriage. And that would be things like, you know, reading books occasionally to keep you on your toes. Listening to a podcast, which obviously you're doing if you're hearing this. So you're being proactive. So good for you. But those things are important. Man, even for us, we have to, you know, keep being proactive in our own marriage. And
I mean, we're working through a book together. Yeah. One of the things that we have said for 25 years is one of the best things we've ever done is we pick out a book together once or twice a year and go through it. And that has blessed us in our marriage.
Yeah.
Unbelievably.
Things like, you know, continuing to make date night important. Taking little getaways, all of those things are proactive things you can do for the growth of your marriage. Focusing all your energy and attention on your children and not your marriage, we've talked about that. That's a dangerous thing to do. You get so busy with the kids and their needs and their activities, and you're not nurturing your marriage. And man, one of these days you're going to have an empty nest. We're there.
Yes.
And, you know, it can be the best time of your life, one of the best times of your life, or it can be you look across the table and go, I don't know you and I don't really enjoy spending time with you anymore.
There are people who have built their marriage around their kids, and their kids leave, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm really kind of uncomfortable hanging out with this person. And that's a sad thing.
It is sad.
Yeah.
It is sad. We loved our children, and we loved raising our children and having our children at home, and we love it when they come home for a visit. But I'm telling you what, we've kind of enjoyed this empty nest thing.
We have. I love watching my
because
kids.
Because we have a healthy marriage.
I love watching our kids fly on their own to do life. That's my job. I'm working myself out of a job, and I want them to fly on their own. I don't want them to come back to the nest all the time. Come home every now and then. And stay and see mom and dad and then hit the road.
That's right.
That's a good thing.
It's healthy for everyone.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. If you're locking your phone, we talked about that. You may be losing some of your nakedness. If you find yourself dressing up and paying more attention to your appearance and hoping that somebody else will notice, meaning, mm-hmm. for example, if one of us had a coworker of the opposite sex, and if I got up and caught myself going, I wonder what my coworker, this person that I'm, you know, of the opposite sex, I wonder if they'd like this shirt or mm-hmm. these shoes. I wonder if they'll say that I look pretty today if I wear this. If I'm working hard to impress someone more than I'm working hard to impress my spouse, that's a danger sign. That's a red light right there. Mm-hmm. Something's not right. I told this a long time ago. I had a friend one time who changed secretaries in a business. And I said, did you not like her? And he said, no, that wasn't a problem. He said, I found myself wearing cologne that I had never worn cologne because she got to mentioning how good I smell. And I found myself wanting to smell good and look good for her every morning because she made me feel good with her compliments. Mm-hmm. And I realized this was dangerous. He said, so I just had a swap of secretaries in the office because I just didn't think that was healthy. That's maturity right there.
That is maturity and wisdom. Yes.
Yeah, that is maturity and that is wisdom. You know, you might not agree with everything we're kind of talking about here, but I will tell you this. Sometimes we found that if we say something that makes you angry, we've probably hit on a little sore spot, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Let us throw one more thing out there before we leave, because we think this is healthy. We won't spend much time on it, but we've talked about cell phones. We've talked about being naked in friendships of the opposite sex. Let's talk about social media just very quickly. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're actually on Snapchat. We have a family Snapchat. That's pretty much the only place we Snapchat. Mm-hmm. But we have one another's passwords. Again, if you want to pick up my Twitter on my phone or my Instagram and look at my stuff and whom I'm messaging, we're very, very cautious with that. And we have rules. If we think our spouse might be uncomfortable with someone we're going to follow on Instagram, you might reconsider at least, or consider asking your spouse, are you comfortable with me following this person? And so those are just good, healthy practices of how to do things. Communicate that with your spouse. How much time are you spending on social media? Well, mm-hmm. if your spouse is going to bed with you at nighttime without you, so you stay up to play on social media or video games or whatever it is, mm-hmm. then that's probably pretty unhealthy.
Yeah. You know, everybody's heard it, the saying that to remember that the people in the room with you are more important than the people that you're, you know, chatting with on your phone or your computer screen. So,
yeah, we share passwords for all those things. We can look at one another's messages. That's just good, healthy practice. All of those things are good, healthy practices. Honesty builds intimacy and trust. And we want to be really, really good at being naked with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dishonesty, secrets, hiding things, friendships of the opposite sex, these can all be marriage killers. And due to the times that we now live in with cell phones and social media, we're dealing with new challenges and temptations today that we did not have 10 years ago.
Mm-mm. And we got to work hard to be uncovered and naked in all of those areas, because marriage just works so much better there.
That's right.
It really does. We don't want to be like Adam and Eve and be covering our nakedness up because of shame that has entered. Genesis 22:2 and verse 25, mm-hmm. Adam and Eve were both naked and felt no shame. And so we challenge you today as you are listening, get naked with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Not that way, but you can get that way too. But get naked with your spouse when it comes to all the areas of your life. That's good, healthy marriage practices.
That's right. Yeah, we want that for every listener out there.
So, do we got anything else we want to add today?
Man, I think we covered a lot of material.
We are honored that y'all have listened. Thanks for coming our way. And Lee's going to sing us out today for... No.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, we won't be singing us out today, but we are so glad you came our way. Check back in next week. We'll have a new episode podcast. Life's kind of, thankfully, kind of slowing down a little bit for us. So.
A little bit right now.
Yeah. Y'all have a great day. Blessings.
Bye, guys.